Okay, we're going to start the Board of Supervisors meeting. Supervisor Christie did such a good job, we'll start again with the flag.
All right. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Ms. Lindler, would you like to open the Planning Commission part of the meeting as well?
Yeah. So I would like to open the August 29th Siskiyou County Planning Commission meeting.
Okay, roll call. Supervisor Chris.
Present.
Supervisor Cobstead.
Here.
Supervisor Valenzuela.
Yep.
And Supervisor Ogren.
Present.
And for planning, we have Commissioner Fowle.
Present.
Commissioner Veal.
Here.
Commissioner Hart.
Here.
Commissioner Mello.
Here.
And Commissioner Lindler.
Here.
Thank you much.
Okay, item three is presentations from the public. Before I start, Ms. Reed, could you give us how the presentation from the public works on the meeting like this?
Yes. While at regular meetings, the public has an opportunity to directly address the body for any interest to the public within the board's jurisdiction. For special meetings, the board is only required to provide an opportunity for members of the public to address them on any item that has been described in the notice for the meeting.
And maybe this is a good time that they can send in written comments on any subject to the board, that we could all receive that. So I'll start off with Mr. Radford.
My name is Steve Radford. I live at 409 Evergreen Lane in Wairika, right across the street from the elementary school. I get to see the families every day, file in and drop off their kids. It's a wonderful thing. It's a beautiful thing, all these young families. But they don't have time to come to these supervisor meetings that are 8:30 in the morning or 9 o'clock in the morning, the regular meetings. I would suggest that we try to implement some evening meetings so these younger people can get here and show their interest in our county. That's one suggestion I have. They've done it down in Shasta County. It's been effective. They're very busy down there and taking their county back. And that's another thing that we need to start initiating also in this county. California is not our friend. California is a communist state at this point. They are integrating socialist movements in every one of the cities and counties in California. And I'm not going to fly with it. I'm a Vietnam veteran. I took the oath to be a soldier in this county, to fight for freedom, as you all did also. And that oath means we stand up to the word of the law of the Constitution, not the watered down things that the attorneys these days get in school or the sheriffs get in their things, and we don't have a strong Constitution anymore. If we had a strong Constitution, these dams would not be coming out. The sheriff would have the power to pull these people out of our county until it was passed by Congress, if it was ever going to be passed by Congress, for these dams to come out. 14 years since I've been here, we still have to deal with this smoke. This morning is 341, air quality, 341 out of 500. That's pretty bad, folks. It's not safe for us to be breathing that, especially our kids. And we're still dealing with this 14 years later. I know Mr. Supervisor Help was a big deal in helping us with that when Trump was in office. But since then, what have we done? Please, you guys got to stand up. We need leadership. If you stand up and make your point, the kids, the people, the young people will have somebody to follow. And then we can put this county back together again. We need your help. Please. Thank you.
Richard Marshall. I don't see the timer here. Can you at least have a real time thing?
Can we do the timer? Anna?
Thank you, Chairman Valenzuela, members of the board, esteemed members of the Planning Commission that we see here today. Danielle, good to see you. I'm Richard Marshall. I'm from Fort Jones, a rancher in Scott Valley, and I'm here to speak to the issue of the planning master plan effort. It took me by surprise, as a lot of people, that we had a master plan thing that was underway, and I looked up the group that's here today, Mintier Harnish, and I'm looking forward to seeing their stock plan that they put together, which if you go on the internet, you can find similar plans from other planners. But I was surprised that back in July 11th, 2022, there was an RFP, I don't think the public knew about it, for proposals to be received on August 8th, which they were, and that then the county entered into a contract. This contract is already in place. I think some people were confused. They thought today was to talk about the contract, but the contract's already in place. $1 million to be spent for this master planning effort and the EIR, I assume, which goes along with it. And it seems to me that the public should have been more involved in this process along the way. The questions I have is, why hasn't the public been informed of the effort previously? Because the amount of money that is being spent on it could easily have been used in our Shasta Valley issues, where the sheriff's office is really in desperate need of money. Why isn't the Planning and Community Development Department able to do this on their own? We have planners who are members of various groups and organizations who are on our planning group and the Community Development Office. Why can't they do the master plan? Other communities are doing it. Not every community is hiring an outside planner. And the final thing is, of course, once again, we're turning to Sacramento to do these things, and it just seems to me that this county is constantly losing ground. We just lost the Klamath Dam, and we'll be losing them shortly. And we're still, in our group, we're still fighting the state in court, in fact, on Thursday, regarding the fees they want to charge our group for trying to hold the total line on the issue of the Klamath Dams. So I'm just concerned about the communication process, and that was the main point I wanted to bring out, is why should this be a surprise to everybody that we're having this meeting today and what it's about, because evidently there's not much out there in the way of a public hearing or information to the public. Thank you.
Mr. Stapleton?
Thank you, gentlemen and commissioners and board supervisors. I'm Michael Stapleton. I live outside Edna. And I'm just here, the general plan is going to be updated, which the process has started. I would just like to ask you to ensure that the Scott Valley area plan is protected, if not strengthened. Ray Help told me one time it was never put into code. I don't really know what that means, but can you put it into code to strengthen it so that during the Mount Permanent expansion, camp expansion, it was kind of put under the rug a little bit, kind of minimized, but the people in Scott Valley depend on that plan to keep our lifestyle, and I just ask you to take that very seriously and please do what you can to strengthen the Scott Valley area plan. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay, that's all the written ones I have here. And anyone online? We'll get to you. Can anyone online?
We're not.
Oh, they can just listen, right? They're just listening only on that? Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you give me the number.
Remote listening only via teleconference on the agenda.
Okay, Debbie.
Good morning. My name is Debbie Bachkalupi from Montague. And I usually come here concerned, as you know, and I'm concerned about this general plan as well. I looked at the partner who is, the name is lacking me right now, I think Mintier Hasher or something to that effect. And I looked at the contracts that they've had with other cities, including major cities, and it's eerily like the one that many of us in the San Francisco Bay Area back in 2009, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, a large group of us were showing up at the meetings in various cities throughout the One Bay Area Plan. I mean, San Francisco Bay Area. They were all passing the One Bay Area Plan, which is a governance plan that is a one-size-fits-all and included an organization called ICLEI, the International Council on Local Environmental Initiatives. And who is, I go to United Nations meetings, and Igli is at these meetings pushing a global governance scheme, these are not my words, for sustainable development. So anytime you see or hear the word sustainability, it does not mean what we used to think it means. It means social equity, environmental justice, and economic justice. In other words, wokeism. And I see him into your pasture. So beware of when people are using the word sustainability in the 21st century. In other words, even to promote their business, their ranches, etc. Just beware. So Mentir Hashir has an MOU with, or has partnered with Igli to count greenhouse gases. So why is that concerning to me? Because Igli's headquarters is in Bonn, Germany. It had nothing to do with the United States of America, except for this thing called sustainable development, which all of you know on the board started back in 1992 at a summit called the Rio Earth Summit. Why are we adopting something that is not local, that is hugely a one-size-fits-all plan that New York City is adopted or has adopted, Los Angeles, San Francisco, all these large cities that people in rural America are saying, quit voting for us. You don't have the same issues. You don't have the same problems. You don't have the same love for and need for natural resources to be produced, to be used. They need us, we need them. They need us as producers, we need them as consumers. I ask you to not do Ms. Prisian of treason. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else in house would like to speak on this subject? Seeing none, we're going to move right on into the departmental request, general plan update.
Mr. Chair, just for clarification, any action of this board is public information. Back in whenever Mr. Marshall indicated that this contract came before us, it was a public meeting, and it's frustrating. I know you it seems like the public gets this secondhand, but the public needs to be just as involved in our meetings as the Board of Supervisors and the Planning Commissioners, because what we do is as public as it gets. So that's when you need to monitor our agendas to have input at a time when it's, you know, at the time versus, you know, where now it kind of looks back like we didn't do anything. Well, it was public. So I can't emphasize enough, public become involved in the meetings that take place, whether it's the Board of Supervisors or the Planning Commission, so that we can get your input.
Well, I would just also add that this is the kickoff of a general plan update. This is a long process. I would expect all of you to be involved as we move forward. So.
And we're not, today, or I don't even think it's on the table, to take a plan and adopt it. I think this is to do our plan for Siskiyou County and how it applies to us, not how it applies elsewhere. At least that's my understanding.
I'm confident as this rolls out, people will get a better clarity as to what's going on here. So let's start off. Ms. Haney, kind of introduce the subject, and let's get this project rolling.
Sure. Good morning, Board of Supervisors, Planning Commission, Haley Lang, Planning Director. So as noted, this is, you know, sort of a kickoff workshop for the general plan update. Consultant that we are working with, Mentir and Harnish, they will be helping us, you know, assisting us through this process. And as you're all aware, the general plan, it's our long-range planning document that we utilize within the county to look at, you know, development within the county and the future within the county and elements like that. So with that, I will open up the presentation.
Before you go, Haley, could you
sure.
Answer a specific question why we can't do something like this in-house?
It is a very technical and comprehensive process. You know, this process is going to be about a 2 or 3 year rollout, a lot of time and a lot of man hours, and it's very, very technical. We just do not have the resources or the capacity to be able to, one, do this process correctly, and then also assist the public with, you know, use permit zone changes and things like that. So it's a very, very long-winded process, and, you know, typically this is something that you do utilize a consultant for, because we don't have the in-house expertise on things like, you know, environmental issues and, you know, things like that. So it's really a robust experience that we need the help of consultants.
I know we're down a planner as we speak, and we have the normal day-to-day operations trying to get our we're always behind the eight ball when it comes to capacities.
Yep, absolutely.
Through the chair,
yep.
Haley, could you also, for the public that's not aware, explain why we are currently doing this?
Sure. So the general plan, specifically the land use element, which dictates, you know, land use and zoning within the county, that's has not been updated, I believe, since 1983. And so we are long overdue for an update for, you know, realistically what is occurring within the county, and also, you know, trying to help development in the county, streamline development, expedite development, make things more ministerial so the public isn't involved in a long, arduous process for every single little thing. So this is really going to help, you know, the overarching vision of the county and, you know, growing in a more streamlined way versus, you know, all of these roadblocks that we have right now. Because our plan is so old, we aren't able to, you know, utilize a lot of benefits that other jurisdictions may benefit from.
Anyone else in the Planning Commission? I would also add that one of the things that this will help is when we go after grants, we need an updated plan to apply for those kind of things.
Yes, absolutely. I can't, you know, go for a lot of grants right now from the planning world because we don't have updated plans.
And I know for me, one of my big priorities is housing, and that's specifically tied to an updated plan.
Correct.
Right. Yep. One other thing, and I think it goes back to about a year ago, and it's the first time I became aware on this board that the general plan had an effect on how we permit.
Mm-hmm.
We have had numerous complaints about how long it takes to get through our process, but one of the things that you and Mr. Dean identified about a year ago was that our process almost requires a CEQA process because the general plan is not updated. And that once the general plan is updated, it will, as you indicated, help streamline the permitting process because now you're taking little bites of the elephant one at a time instead of the whole elephant at once if you have the general plan update. So, and this board committed to financing that and getting it done so that what we were finding out, it's costing not only the county a lot of dollars, but it's also costing the constituency dollars in time and money for projects they're trying to get in place. So that's another part of why we're here today.
Correct.
Okay.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the board, and Chair of the Commission and Commissioners. My name is Jim Harnish. I'm the principal and owner of Mentor Harnish. We're a small business in Sacramento. There's about 10 of us, and we do planning consulting. We do general plans, housing elements, and zoning codes for cities and counties. Those are all our clients. With me today is Brent Gibbons, our principal planner, and Ryan Lester, project manager. The two of them will be doing a formal PowerPoint presentation, and then the group of us will lead the Q&A.
Can I ask a quick question? Do you work predominantly in California, or do you work state?
We work exclusively in Northern California. Further south, we have been involved is Ventura County.
Okay.
So it's mostly Northern California. We've been in business 38 years. My former, now retired partner, unfortunately deceased, and I started with the Willow County General Plan in 1985, and we do a lot of county general plans, more than most consultants. We're actually working in Trinity County on their general plan right now as well. So, and there are differences between counties and cities, and especially rural counties like Siskiyou County, and we understand the differences and kind of focused on helping you have a plan, develop a plan that's really tailored to Siskiyou County. And I'm Lee Mahoney, sitting back here, is from Rincon Consultants. They're part of our team, and they are responsible for the environmental analysis, as well as some of the policy development for environmental-oriented pieces of the general plan, like the noise element. We also have, as part of our team, a transportation consultant, EKS, and an economist, the Nadelson Dale Group. And so the four firms together are assisting the county in preparing the general plan update. And Brent and Ryan will get into the details, but I just wanted to say that a general plan update is really the best opportunity cities and counties have to come together to talk about this broad range of issues that some of you have mentioned already: housing, land use, zoning, transportation, environmental quality, conservation, open space. We discuss those together. We discuss them with the commission, the community. That essentially prioritize the county's priorities and emphasize what is most important to this county. And every general plan, while there are similarities and they address generally the same topics, each one is unique to that city and county. And that's largely a product of the community engagement process that Brent and Ryan will talk about. I know some discussion earlier about communication and public information. That's a big emphasis on this project, is reaching out to the community, creating as many opportunities as possible for community members to tell you what they think. So I'll let the Brent and Ryan tell you about the details, but that's throughout the entire project, it's emphasizing community participation. You're the ultimate decision makers. You get advice from your planning commission. But it's our job to gather as much information for the commission and the board as possible to make a decision that works for Siskiyou County and is, not everybody agrees on these kind of policies, but it generally represents the view of the community. So that's part of our job. I just want to address the issue of your staff doing the general plan update versus hiring a consultant. This comes up periodically. Very, very few cities and county staffs are big enough and have enough technical capabilities to do this. I have been a local planner for about a third of my career, so I learned planning and working for cities and counties. So there's no magic to necessarily what I do. There is to some, like the work that Eileen's group does in terms of the technical analysis that very few city or county staffs are capable of. But a lot of the work we do, they're capable of doing the outreach, the community engagement, the writing the policies, but they're busy and you don't have a big staff. And so we're here to augment your staff, not replace them. We work closely with them. I have a good friend who is county planning director in Sacramento County. They updated their own plan. They had a really big staff, probably 60 or 70 staff, updated their own general plan in-house, and he said he'd never do it again, just because of how complicated it is to fit that work into the regular work that your staff has to do. So while your staff is fully capable of doing a lot of their work, they just don't have the time. That's the, frankly, the issue. So I'd be happy to, I just wanted to address one comment. We don't have any MOU with ICLEI. I know who ICLEI is, but all of our contracts are the cities and counties. Those are our only clients. I understand that the work that ICLEI does, but that's really technical stuff for air quality, and it's not something you need to do. So I'd be happy to answer questions now or later in the dialogue.
Sure. Just a quick question. Does your firm feed down to our staff in this process, or does our staff feed up to you? In other words, our issues versus you bringing issues to us?
It's both ways. We'll ask questions. In order for your general plan to really be fully compliant with state law and fit your needs, there are issues that we'll bring to you to say, how do you want to deal with these issues? We'll work through your staff. But much of the feedback we get is through your staff and through the community in terms of what the priorities are, what the issues are. Early on in the process, we'll talk about issues and opportunities and constraints and find out what people want to change about their community, what you want to preserve and keep the same. And comment Haley made about streamlining development, that's one of our charges, is to update the zoning code and the general plan so that you have more development that's done by right, so you don't go through a discretionary process. You essentially set the standards in your zoning code, and then somebody complies and they go forward without having to get a hearing. It's just a permit. So that's one of the key objectives of this is to make individual development projects simpler to do and cheaper.
Thank you. Anyone from the Planning Commission? Okay, moving right along.
Great.
Good morning, Board. My name is Brent Gibbons. I'm a principal planner with Minter Harnish. And as part of this update, I'll be the overall project manager. So you'll get used to seeing my face at these meetings. I'll be involved in all facets of community engagement, outreach, hearings, and then any other deliverables past my desk before they make it out to your commission, then you, the board, for public review. Just wanted to go over a few of the items this morning so we get a better understanding of what this process entails and a better understanding of what to expect as we move forward. So I'll walk through a general plan, a general plan's requirements, why we're here, and then Ryan will touch on the engagement portion, and then we'll pass it back to the board for open discussion, expectations, and what you feel our team should address, capitalize, maintain as we move forward. And then at that point, loop in the Planning Commission to the discussion as well. Go on to the next slide. So I get this question a lot about what is a general plan and why. Why are we doing this and why are we here? A general plan is required for every city and county within the state of California. It's a long-term blueprint that outlines several topical areas that affect each jurisdiction, whether that is from mobility or access, circulation, whether we're talking land use or development regulations, conservation and open space. And within this, the community decides what its vision is and its direction is for the next 20 to 25 years. So as part of this, as Haley mentioned, the county has not had a comprehensive general plan update for quite some time. Over the years, the county has piecemealed and updated certain elements based on existing conditions and changes. Some of the elements date back to the early 70s. The latest housing element, we're in the 2020 time frame. So this is a great opportunity to actually look holistically at each of these elements because they're all consistent with each other. They all build upon each other, and that's why we're here today. As Jim had touched on too, there's a zoning component. I'll go into that and why it's important that both of these processes are meshed together as part of this effort. Next slide. This is probably the best graphic description of what a general plan is and why it's important that all of these pieces are consistent. So when you think of a general plan, think of it in its actual name, general. It's the base, it's the foundation planning document that the county has. From the general plan, you have guiding policies, goals, programs, which are actions by the board, future actions, that then feed into what development can and should be moving forward. Above that, you have your zoning. Your zoning is your development regulations that implements your general plan. Zoning includes height, setback, what your allowable uses are, administrative processing, and other procedures as part of a project that comes forward, typically before Planning Commission and then sometimes up to the board. Zoning then moves forward up the ladder to your subdivision. That's the division of land for development, Subdivision Map Act, outlines that and builds upon your zoning moving forward. Where the public typically interacts with planning is the top of the pyramid. It's your building permits. That is when an individual comes to the counter with the project, submits it, and then that project has to be consistent with the subdivision, the zoning, and the general plan down the line. So it's important to look at this holistically so that when we're looking at the general plan, it's actually comprehensive throughout the process. And when you're looking at a general plan, it's important to think of it as a long-term document. General plans typically have a lifespan of 20 to 25 years. This plan, the horizon year, is out to 2050. That may seem far off, but we're talking just down the road when you're looking at long-term decisions that the board makes looking forward. Next slide. So some characteristics as part of a general plan is it identifies what's known as a planning area. In this case, this is the county boundary. Within the county, there are incorporated communities and unincorporated communities. Now, a general plan does not cover incorporated cities. It does not apply goals or policies to them. They have their own separate jurisdiction and local government. But it does collaborate and work with them because incorporated cities are part of the larger county as a whole. But then the unincorporated communities are covered by the general plan, covered by land use, covered by circulation policies, and so forth. As I had mentioned, internal consistency is key. There's equal status amongst each of the different elements, or I like to think of them as chapters. So within a general plan, you have a land use element, a circulation element, a safety element, and that's just to name a few. Each of those are all on the same level, and they all build upon each other, and they're all internally consistent with each other. Mm-hmm. Next slide. So the state has a requirement as part of general plans that there are certain topics that a general plan has to cover. Now this here is a list of required elements, and they're outlined by the state of California at the Office of Planning and Research, otherwise known as OPR. OPR has a set of guidelines. Think of this as a guidebook that each jurisdiction has to follow and abide by when updating your general plan. So all of these required elements have to be included in your general plan. Now the caveat here is they don't need to be in the specific order. They don't need to be in a specific land use element, circulation element. The important part is the topic has to be covered. So the jurisdiction has the flexibility to tailor these elements. They don't need to be listed as so. But if you want to combine efforts, rename, that's okay. That is tailored to the uniqueness of the jurisdiction. It's just important that each of these topic areas are covered as part of this. Next slide. Now, we can give it another click. We'll roll through. And again. So, state requirements. This is not everyone's favorite topic. I understand it's not necessarily my favorite topic. But as part of a general plan, we need to ensure that at least the county at a base minimum is compliant with new state law. We can have an entire meeting on new legislation. I can say as a planner who's worked as a counter planner for Madera County, and I worked for a city, now I'm in consulting, it's hard to keep track of all of these. And so as a part of our task, is making sure that all the new state legislation that's passed every year, we are abreast of all of those changes. We notify county staff, keep them in the loop so there's an understanding, and then also keeping the public aware of changes and how those changes are implemented into the general plan. So behind each of these categories, there are lots of different new legislation pieces. I'm not going to go into each of these, but they touch on different metrics on how you measure traffic, different metrics on how you measure housing. The county went through a housing element process, so that's already been covered, but the general plan will need to pull that in and capture it. There's new legislation regarding safety, wildfire preparedness. Just look outside right now. So as part of this, we'll make sure that at a base minimum level, the county is compliant. But there's also flexibility in this too. It's not a one-size-fits-all. There's several different approaches you can take on how you implement these different changes in legislation that are tailored to meet the county's needs and expectations. Next slide. Go ahead. So general plan updates are typically done two different ways. One is called comprehensive, one's called technical. The comprehensive one means that you look at every single element within your general plan and you update all of them at once. This effort is not necessarily comprehensive, it's more of a technical effort. So your staff has been working internally on specific elements, some of them grant funded. And now we are offsetting, coming in and assisting your staff on the three elements shown up on the screen. And our job, too, is when we're updating these elements and working with your staff is to ensure that these new elements are consistent with the elements that your staff's been working on. So as part of this project, we're updating the land use element, the noise element, and open space and conservation element. We'll also look at establishing a general plan vision statement. That's important. It's a theme for a project. Think of it as a guidepost moving forward. So as part of a general plan, you need to have a path. What is the direction the county would like to go on? The rest of the plan is built on that vision and then a set of guiding principles, more like themes. The general plan vision and guiding principles is a whole portion of this project. It's a complete phase. And that is probably one of the most robust community engagement phases we have because the community needs to weigh in on the direction that the plan goes. It's not my plan. It's your plan. I'm just here to help facilitate the discussion and keep things moving. So as part of this, the community expectations about where Siskiyou County heads in the next 25 years, that ultimately makes it into the vision statement, makes it into future goals and policies, which then is at the board's discretion and consideration for adoption at the end. As part of this too, there's a comprehensive code update, and I'll get into that a bit further. And then one of the things that was outlined is to prioritize community health as part of this effort. Community health based on land use, community health based on services, and so forth. Next slide. As I had mentioned, the different state laws that are captured part of this at a base minimum also looking at best trends and practices. It was mentioned earlier that there is no one size that fits all, and this is completely true. Siskiyou County is not Trinity County, and Siskiyou County is not Lassen County, and it's not Sacramento County. So as part of this, we need to find the best tailored approach that fits what you need. Now, we do have experience in other jurisdictions, so we can lay out different options for consideration and tinker with those as much as we can in order to meet what you're looking for. As part of this, we're looking at a safety in all policies. This is pretty contemporary. It's making sure that all the goals and policies in the general plan programs lead to safety and assurance for everyone through part of that. Whether that is your safety element, whether that is anything dealing with public health and health services. So that's an important aspect as part of this update. And then in the end, engagement. Without engagement, the general plan ceases to exist. Because without engagement, it's not reflective of where the county wants to go, what the county wants to maintain, preserve, or change, if at all. Change is inevitable, but I'm not saying change is actually going to come out of this general plan. I don't know. I haven't heard from the community yet, and I haven't been able to have the dialogue, and neither has your staff. Think of this as the first step in the process where we're just gathering information. No action, nothing's out there, and nothing's in place yet. Next slide. So as Haley had touched on, this is a multi-year project. Someone asked, why does it take so long? Well, engagement in itself takes time. You want to make sure that there is enough time for feedback, enough time to report out. Transparency is key through a process like this. You want to make enough time for when there's a deliverable that's produced and that's out in the public has time to weigh in on it and provide feedback. So we started this project just over 2.5 months ago with an internal kickoff meeting with staff. And then this is primarily the first step, is hearing from the board and the planning commission to gather initial expectations and from community members as part of this process. So we're in phase one. This process lasts about 3 years, and we hope in the end that we can bring forth a product in collaboration with the community and staff that can be adopted at the end of the process. Next slide. So what I'll do is I'll walk through the timeline and just give a little bit more information into each of these different phases of the project. Phase one, initiation. That's why we're here. We're here today to initiate the project, get initial feedback, and start the research, data collection, and so forth. I think what's important as part of a general plan, and having managed several of these and for counties and working for a county myself, is you can look up all the data you want. It's all online, but the data is not the only thing. On the ground truthing, by community members, by decision makers, by county staff is pivotal for a project like this. So it's important that as we work through this project, we gather as much local feedback, on the ground knowledge and feedback as possible, and today starts that. So that is supplemental to the data that that is mined through your existing documents that the county has, recent census data, and so forth. As part of project initiation as well, we'll roll out newsletters that will keep the public up to date on what to expect as part of this process. And we'll start evaluating your existing general plan in consultation with county staff to determine maybe which sections of the general plan have been completed, which ones are important to maintain and move forward, or which ones need some modifying. So that's project initiation phase one. Next one. Phase two, just known as the existing conditions, it's a background report. The way I like to think of this is before you can do any project of this scale, you need to know what you're dealing with. You need to know the existing conditions. What's on the ground? What is Siskiyou County today? So as part of this effort, we pulled together what's known as a background report. It's background data, background information, and that background information serves as the baseline for the entire project. So as part of this effort, we're currently working with county staff to pull all of this existing data on all those different topics that the general plan covers. That'll go into a report, which is a snapshot of the county in 2023 and where the county is anticipated to head. That report will be out for public review probably early next year. It's quite a large document. There's a lot of information. And as part of that, it'll go through the public review process where the public can weigh in and note if there are any areas that need to be bolstered or any areas that they feel are missing. And when we talk about the EIR portion, which I'll get to, which is later in the phases, this background report is critical for that because it serves as the existing conditions portion. When you do an environmental document, you need to know where you're starting from. Again, where's your baseline? Next slide. I talked on community vision and guiding principles. That's phase three. As part of that effort, though, it will be workshops. Ryan can get into a little bit more, but that's where we start to formulate a vision for the county. Where is the county heading in the next 25 years? How do we implement that? And then what are the guiding principles or the themes to build upon? And those themes will eventually guide future goals and policies and program direction at the board's discretion. Next slide. Zoning code revisions. So this is a unique opportunity, I'd say. Most general plans don't include a zoning code component. And as we saw earlier, you have your general plan at the base, your zoning code implements it. So you have a general plan, and it changes, moves forward, there's new policies. How are those implemented? Through a zoning code. Well, this is the opportunity to make sure that it's done at the same time, that there are streamlining efforts put in through processing of permits and evaluations, hearings, noticing requirements, and as part of that, making sure that both documents are consistent. Through a zoning code update too, it's important to streamline your uses. I've had a chance to look through your allowable uses in your zoning so far. There's still a lot of discretionary actions. Discretionary, in my book, is called red tape. Slows development, costs the county money, and it makes it difficult for community members to put forth a project. There's a lot of steps and hoops you gotta jump through. So as part of this effort, it's streamlining not just the procedures and administrative processes, but it's streamlining the uses that can be allowed. And it's making sure that things are more ministerial, or what's also known as by right. So if a project comes in and meets basic standards, it can move forward. It doesn't require a hearing. Now all of those uses will be up to the discretion of the Planning Commission recommendation, and eventually the board when we get through that process. So we'll go through and evaluate all of those uses as well. But there is a way to streamline it and make it easier through the process. Having been a planner at the other end of the counter, I know what Haley and her team goes through here to try to interpret uses, interpret a code, and it can be a nightmare. And our goal is to eliminate that confusion, not only on staff's end, but on the community's end. It should be very easy to open up the zoning code and find out, what can I do on my property? What does it take? What are the steps? Let's get it done. Next slide. So phase five, this is the meat of the entire general plan process. This is what's known as your policy document. This includes your goals, your policies, and then your programs, which are actions. I like to think of it as like a checklist for the board. This is the biggest chunk of the project. This will take a lot of time to work through the community for review and to make sure that all the goals and policies align with your expectations moving forward, and to make sure that these are sufficient for future actions through the lifespan of the general plan, of the horizon year, which is about 2050 is what we're targeting right now. Next slide. Now, any change that occurs, and I use the term any, we're not sure at this point, if any. If there is change, what are the impacts that could occur from those changes? That's where the environmental impact report comes in. It's a requirement by the state of California, under the California Environmental Quality Act, otherwise known as CEQA. And what that does is it looks at any change that is to occur based on this plan, and how do we mitigate it? how do we lessen an impact from a proposed change as part of this? The EIR process is a long one, it's arduous, lasts about nine to 12 months, depending. So a big chunk of that timeline of this general plan is just the environmental review alone. Environmental review is also a public review, so the public can weigh in, it's out for public consumption, and it'll be before the Planning Commission and boards move forward. Any technical questions in regards to the different facets of an EIR? Again, it's a very technical document. Eileen Mahoney is here with RINCON, and she can answer any of those if the board or commission has any questions on that specific phase of this project. And then phase seven, last one. It's what we all vote for as part of any plan, is that we make it to this point. Again, this point hinges on community involvement, collaboration with staff, and that it's accepted by both the Planning Commission as a recommending body and then by the board. So phase seven looks out 3 years, where we would adopt the general plan, adopt the zoning code, that's the implementing arm, and then move forward and let the county implement what the plan has to offer. Next slide. So what we're going to do now is we're going to walk through some of the outreach. I'm going to have Ryan come up and go through the different ways that the public can be involved through the process. And then at that conclusion, Ryan will hand it back to the board to initiate a discussion with the Planning Commission on your overall expectations for the project and just an open dialogue. Thank you.
Good morning, Board, Planning Commission, and public. Thank you for having me today. My name is Ryan Lester. I'm a project manager with the Deer Harvest. And I just want to talk about community engagement. So with community engagement, there's two aspects that are really important. We need to both get out into the community and engage the community directly, but also we need to make what we're doing accessible to the community so that they understand what's happening, there's transparency, and they can see and review what we're doing and provide comments. So the first point of contact for us is the project website. So we've established a website, siskiyou2050.com, and we really want this to be the central hub for connecting with the project. So the website serves as an information database, so if people want to know at any point in the next 2.5 years that this project is going on, they want to know what a general plan is. They want to know, and they have questions about what we're doing and why, what the process is, what the timing is. We want all that information to be easily accessible on the website. That is critical for the public. It's very hard to get, as you know, the public involved from start to finish. People jump in and jump out, and they need information. So that's the first real tool that the website can provide. Additionally, we can advertise events, let everybody know what we're doing when we're coming into the community. We can take comments directly through the website. And then we will, as documents are drafted, we'll post them and ask for comments. So people can go to the website to find out anything that's going on with the project, and it really becomes a critical information tool for us. Next slide, please. We developed some branding for the project just to try to get the word out there, have some, a logo that folks can see and they know, oh, okay, this is related to the general plan. We worked with staff to develop a logo. We made business cards. And the goal is to just pass those out into the community, not just at our events, but at other events, so that people know that a general plan update is happening. It's really hard to get that information into the community sometimes, and so having some kind of coordinated branding and a logo can really help. Having those business cards that we can hand out can be really helpful for engagement. Next, please. Throughout the project, we'll be doing email blasts to the community, so anyone who's signed up for the email list, as well as to organizations and individuals in the community that the county wants to reach out to, we will make sure that we're sending out regular updates so that people don't have to just go to the website. They'll get it right in their email. It's really important. We'll work with the county through their social media outlets to provide text and images that they can post to keep people updated for those folks who are on Facebook, Twitter, etc. This is a really good way for just to interact with folks. Newsletters, so periodically we will, throughout the project, we'll release a newsletter. It'll have a lot of really important information on what we're doing, right? So the first one, you can see the first page here. The first little article is, what is a general plan? It's key that people have that foundational knowledge of what's going on. And so at different points throughout the project, we will release newsletters and promote them through e-blasts and on the website, as well as in county offices, so that everyone's up to date. We really want to try hard to connect with folks and to make it easy for them to understand what's happening. And newsletters can be, you know, a four-page or eight-page quick read that really catches people up to what's going on at that phase of the project. Next, please. And then community workshops. So we're going to have two series of workshops where we come to the county and we go to different locations throughout the county to find out what the needs are, what the issues are in the community, and what the vision is for the future of the community. It's really important that we get out and talk to different folks where they're at. We try to make it as convenient as possible for folks. You know, expecting everyone to come to a board meeting from all over the county is really tough. It's really tough for a lot of folks, timing, et cetera. So we try to get out into the individual areas of a community, especially a large community like this, to really meet people where they're at, to find out what their specific needs and wants are for them. Throughout the project, we'll have two workshop series, and we're really looking forward to those. They're always really fun. We come, we stay for like a week, we go all over the county, talk to everybody, as many people as we can. And so that's the basics of our community engagement. Again, this plan doesn't exist without input from the community. This is not our plan, this is your plan. We are assisting you in developing your plan. So getting the community involved as much as possible is really, it's not just critical, it is the center of this plan. And I just want to reinforce that. So I just want to open it up. I'll let you decide how we want to do this, but we have some, you can go to the next slide. We have some discussion topics that we'd like to suggest talking about, but we can actually talk about whatever is on your mind, whatever you know, you want to discuss. Really, this is an opportunity for us to figure out what your expectations are for the project and to get the discussion rolling. So we have some here, but I'll turn it back over to the board to facilitate discussion.
Wendy?
Through the chair.
We're going to take a break, and then we'll start back up. Wendy, you need to take a break. Thank you.
Great, thank you.
5 minutes?
Yes.